Well, Blockhead Nation, here we are. 100 plus episodes, 10 exciting guests, and many more to come, and the journey has just begun. Want to remind my listeners that your favorite Blockhead's associated with the Yogis Podcast Network, where you can listen to The Nightly Rant with Mike and Toria. You can listen to Liberty Revealed and one of my personal favorites, The Elite Podcast Academy, that will teach you everything you need to know about being a professional podcaster to take your show from 0 to 60 in 5.2 with all the tips from Mike himself from the Yogis Podcast Network. And also to remind you that I'm associated with the Dose Leprechauns page. Dose Leprechauns Media has taken off. The merchandise is looking great. All that being said, the little redhead girl is giving me the go-ahead. So what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. There's really no way to begin this podcast without a quick recap of the journey that we just had with Ride with Dan USA. We did the podcast. We send him off Sunday afternoon. He has officially hit at least 3 other cities in the great state of Texas. He's been to Ennis. He's been to Corsicana. He's been on the front of the paper with the Corsicana Daily Sun. He has spent the night in Mount Calm, has made his way to Waco, I believe, at this point. And this show will be continuing to follow his journey and his trek. We know he will finish the race one day. He will finish it well. And every time that we come up with this podcast, there will be an introduction to the Ride with Dan USA One Pedal at a Time movement. You'll be able to find all those links to the blog, especially if you want to donate to my dear shipmate and my friend, Daniel Hurd. Everything is going to be provided for you in the blog. You can go check those out. You can go to hashtag OPAAT, short for One Pedal at a Time. You can go to RideWithDanUSA.com and you can follow his amazing ride across America to raise awareness of suicide, not just in veterans, but across the nation as it is. If you go back and take a recap and go look at the last episode we just did, I always encourage everybody to go back and hear my other episodes. I would please tell you to go back, if you have not heard it yet, to go to episode 120 and hear my dear friend Daniel Hurd and hear his story again. Because Blockhead is forever changed. There are so many things that if this man can literally carry his cross and carry his bike the way that he is to bring this message to the light, then who is Blockhead to complain? Who am I to gripe? Who am I to talk about my life being tough? And I hope that the Blockhead Nation will embrace him as we continue to follow his journey. You'll be able to find the links on the blog. And also, you'll find a link to my friends over at Five Finger Tees, where if you want to get yourself a pop culture t-shirt, movie-inspired, or just a ridiculously funny t-shirt that simply will not break the bank, you can do that with my friends over at Five Finger Tees. They take care of all the work for you, and they do a fantastic job, and they give you, the customer, a great deal without having to sacrifice on quality. Check out the link for Five Finger Tees on my blog as well. Go to that link, and whenever you get to checkout, to get 5% off of your purchase, make sure you use the promo code 5OFF. All one word, 5OFF. FIVEOFF. Get 5% off of your purchase from Five Finger Tees. A thank you from them, and a thank you from your favorite Blockhead as you listen tonight. And just to kind of let you know what's been going on with me at this point, it all comes down to everything is being realigned with this show, because everything's being realigned with my life. We just came from the gym, and if Dan can take it one day at a time, one pedal at a time, he's even shared with me what's called the 129 rep. Again, if you want to know anything about this workout process, then we will give you access to it with this show. Again, I don't want to make his mega sound somber and that we will always just be including him in every single show, because we will. But if he can do that, this is not necessarily a New Year's resolution, but this is definitely putting one pedal at a time and one day at a time into practice in the Blockhead Mansion. So we went to the gym tonight, got a chance to really get a good workout in. And I'm trying to pull up some stuff on my phone. I'm going, I need to have some music, because I'm sorry. I happen to love Christian music. I happen to love a lot of the artists out there. My favorite artist is Shane and Shane, without a shadow of a doubt. Has been for a long period of time. That is another story in itself about Shane and Shane. But I can't listen to them when I'm trying to get hyped up for a workout. Just can't do it. I think that goes back to our Navy days. Even goes back to the times when we were just doing our workouts and we were in boot camp. And then there was just, I would rather have some type of music that's going to really grind my gears a little bit. So I'm going to be listening to things along the lines of Metallica or even Third Eye Blind, something that's a little bit more upbeat, because in 1999, one of my favorite albums of all time was the Blue Album by Third Eye Blind. I especially loved the S&M concert with Metallica, so that was another one that would go in, and I think there was a few others I started looking to, but here's a strange turn. Didn't think that I would go down this route, but I was looking through iHeartRadio trying to find something to listen to while I'm on the treadmill, while I'm on the cycle, while I'm hitting the weights. And one big one that came up tonight, I was reintroduced to a type of music I listened to it when I was in high school that I really just enjoyed, and that was ska. Those of you that might be listening now, I know one of you in particular, I'm going to give you a challenge here. Because it's kind of hard to know where the line is between ska and reggae and swing, because that was such a huge trend from the early 90s into the mid-90s. And then there were so many of these artists that started popping back up on this list. So as I'm walking and I start doing my run on the treadmill, I'm starting to hear songs like The Impression That I Get by the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I'm starting to hear Zoot Suit Riot by the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. I'm starting to hear a song that was actually on the American Pie soundtrack called The Man with the Hex by the Atomic Fireballs. And I was really getting revved up. So Blockhead was like, man, I'm going to get a good workout just having a little bit of this right back into my life. So it's kind of hard to know what the lines were between ska core and what reggae was and what swing was. But in particular, I really went back through the list again, started hearing some of the songs by that group, the Cherry Poppin' Daddies, that did do the famous Zoot Suit Riot. They also did a song called The Brown Derby Jump. And here's my suggestion. There was one in particular that I really enjoyed being able to listen to. And the truth is, it's just hard to follow the message. And most of their lyrics just don't align. I think it's kind of one of those, if you follow this show, it's a little bit hard to follow which direction that Blockhead's going to go. It's a little bit hard sometimes to follow the narrative and to piece it together for yourself. What is he actually trying to explain for the listeners? And that's also something that other great artists have done too. Go back and look at some of the lyrics by Third Eye Blind. Sometimes they take you on a weird journey. There's no other way to explain it. And a lot of the pieces sometimes just don't align in the song, but it comes down to a simple, who cares? The song is enjoyable. It happens to be unique. It has listeners that follow them for years. There are some that are very evident on what they are. Semi-Charmed Life, it's not hard to figure out those lyrics if you start to look through it. But other songs that they have done, maybe like Bonfire by Third Eye Blind, very hard concept to follow what he's saying. I think it's just he was inspired in the moment and he just started to write. He stayed in what I heard John Mayer one called that pinhole of focus and just kind of get down whatever you can. That's another guy that's kind of hard to follow some of his lyrics. But especially when I started listening back to some of the lyrics by the Cherry Poppin' Daddies, and one of them in particular, love the song, don't understand the message. It's not conveyed to the listeners very well. And that song is Dr. Bones. So if you're listening to this, Mike Mahoney from the Yokies Podcast Network, you have given me challenges other times on your podcast for yours truly to try out. I'm giving one specifically out to you. Mike Mahoney, Yogi's Podcast Network, listen up. Go to your song lists, whether you use Spotify, whether you use iHeartRadio, whether you use YouTube, and just look up the Cherry Poppin' Daddies and listen to the song Dr. Bones. That is my challenge to you. Take a look at this song. It's kind of one of those that falls through the cracks. We all know about Zoot Suit Riot, but we don't know about this one in particular, unless you're a diehard ska fan or a swing fan of that time period, or you live in Louisiana territory and you are introduced to it in every corner of the city. So that might be something to consider. But yes, go listen to that song. See if you can find the message, because I certainly can't. And it's not the only one that comes up, but this was just a well put together song list for me to be able to attain my workout. So yes, if Dan Hurd can do one pedal at a time with his movement and have gone to 37 states and has 11 more to go to spread the awareness of suicide, then Blockhead can get out and do a couple of workouts and start taking it one day at a time and start working on what's called the 129 rep. And if you want, I can also share that information with you as well. And another information I want to share is this. Guys, if you are looking for better snacking solutions, will you check out my friends over at Earthbox, the best way to discover delicious, healthy new snacks and beverages delivered right to your door every month, and they are jam-packed with snacks. Earthbox is a monthly snack subscription that we particularly love over here at the Blockhead Mansion, and they're available in everything from classic to gluten-free to vegan to diet boxes. They make health a priority in your life by surprising you with fantastic products that come inside of these boxes that have to pass strict ingredient sourcing, calorie, nutrition, and manufacturing standards. So if you follow the link that I have in the blog today for the podcast, you can get $10 off on your first order plus a free box. When you check out, make sure you use the promo code New Year. It's one word, N-E-W-Y-E-A-R, to get $10 plus a free box off of your purchase with Earthbox. And that's a thank you from them and from yours truly. Now, there isn't, when it comes to mixed martial arts, let me bring it to the sport that I can convey to my listeners. There isn't a whole lot more that I can discuss except what is coming up. And you all know the blockbuster of the event that's about to happen. You're about to have Conor McGregor's return against a hard night out for anyone, Cowboy Donald Cerrone. We got 1 week until this huge, amazing fight's going to happen. Could not be more happy with that matchup when it comes to those two. And as far as who I can predict, it comes down to even more than just Conor's return after having some cage rust or the miles that are on the car that is Cowboy Don Cerrone after so many grueling fights that he's had recently with more successes than failures. We look at the weight class of 170, and it's really hard to determine. This is one that Conor has struggled with in the past. But before we even get to that week, let's take a look at what's been going on with Bellator MMA. Recently, they had a crossover, a cross-promotion with Ryzen Federation. And the story I have here is almost like a negative limelight. I don't want to say it's too negative, but I just did a video about the positive sides of Dominic Cruz. And now sometimes we have to look at things that are a little bit sketchy in this sport. And one of them that I'm not sure how I feel about this, and I'm certainly okay with, if you're listening tonight and you want to send some feedback, whether it's on my Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram, or if you want to just do it and do it through the podcast, you want to leave a link and some kind of a message, or if you want to send me one directly through Messenger, you're more than welcome to do that. But the problem that I'm having right now is, even though the final outcome was not in his favor, it's more of what happened with one of the fights. You've got Patricio Pitbull, a double champ that easily could have become a triple champ if he was able to attain the Ryzen Federation Championship belt, and he was part of the tournament brackets that they have. I will tell you this now, just to kind of stop for a minute, that I love the fact that Bellator and Ryzen and even ONE Championship, unlike the UFC, are doing tournament brackets where we're not handing out these interim championships almost like they're a promise ring. You actually have people that go into the brackets, and even if you have a strap or not, you actually stay in it until you make your way to the final end. That's how we end up getting Douglas Lima a chance to get his title back. He had to go through the brackets and win the entire thing. And I love that they're doing this in Bellator and in Ryzen. But this was quite a special event. I think it was Ryzen 20, if I'm not mistaken, where you have Patricio Pitbull gets a chance to be in the brackets and fight against Ryzen's fighters. The problem is, that he does advance to the finals and does lose to a very good fighter named, I believe if you say it correctly, it's Tofiq Yusinev. Either way, what a grueling match between those two. But I looked at the one that got him into the finals, that advanced him in the bracket. And the controversy is, did Patricio Pitbull do a soccer kick? Now, if you're not sure of what the actual textbook definition for a soccer kick is usually when a fighter is on all fours and you come in and you literally punt them in the head, or you attempt to kick them where then they are not protected when the man is down and out. Yes, Charlie Brown is literally trying to go kick the football out of Lucy's hands, only this time it's a professional athlete and he is trying to attempt a kick on a man who has no protection whatsoever, probably doesn't know where he is, and no referee step in. This is something that has been allowed in ONE FC. I've seen it happen where they've been on all fours or when the fighter has been on their back, where it's been allowed to be a soccer kick. This is one that becomes a gray area when you get to the UFC. I think they have to ask what the intent was. But this one was kind of a strange one. This one was not a full-on on hands and knees or on his back with all fours in the air. It wasn't. In this particular scene, I'm looking at Patricio Pitbull. It's more like he was looking for an opening because the fighter is not fully down. So when you want to stand up and somebody's above you, in order to avoid ground and pound, what you do is you extend either your left or your right arm, then you have the other hand clenched close to your head, and you make a way for yourself to stand up. That's how this normally works. Now, this fighter looks like he is getting into that position, so he's 50% getting off of the ground. It's almost like in wrestling, you have what's called a full Nelson and a half Nelson. Full Nelsons are not allowed. You are not allowed to interlock fingers when you use a full Nelson headlock. You are not allowed to do that in folk style or freestyle wrestling. You are allowed to do a half. You're allowed to hook under the arms and get them under the back to where you can turn their body. That one is allowed. So this looks almost like a half stand-up position for this fighter to get up, and Patricio Pitbull throws a kick, and he lands and connects with his face. So you can almost hear it with the commentators. They're almost cringing about going, what do we do? He just threw a soccer kick. Do we allow this? But then, of course, the referee steps in and calls it, and therefore Patricio Pitbull is going to advance to the next round. Now, I'll leave that to you to determine with a sport like MMA. There are not a whole lot of rules, and the ones that are to be followed specifically by the referee. Things like holding the necks. You want to see a referee that is doing their job well get irritated with somebody is when you have a tap out and they don't let go of the neck. Mike Beltran is one of them many times that has scolded other fighters for doing something like that. So there are plenty of other ones that they watch out for the fighters. There are things like cuts that happen over where it might be a doctor stoppage. But this one's a unique one. The soccer kick. Maybe you can ask me what you think this is. It feels like it's a gray area because ONE FC certainly allows it. It's been documented many times. Bellator and Ryzen Federation certainly seem like they have not addressed the soccer kick at this point. And it's just a sad thing to know that a man who could have had a champ status, which is still a double champ, is still, you know, again, it comes down to his intent. Did Patricio Pitbull see an opening? We don't have a lot of people who have addressed this situation. But I am asking on behalf of the Blockhead Nation, those that want to get into MMA, or have been following with me for a while, what do you see? Do you see the pros and cons, the advantages, the disadvantages? Do you see that as just a cruel move that somebody would make inside of the cage? What do you see? Because personally, for me, I would have stopped the fight right then and there when it comes to a soccer kick. Now, again, this one is where it's controversial because it's almost like 50% of the way. We got a 50-50. It's almost a flip of a coin if he did this. But at least the concept of a soccer kick is something that I don't stand for. And I don't understand why, as a fan, and I tried to look in some areas in the MMA underground and almost ran into just a brick wall one after the other. And I go, are we going to allow something like this? Are we going to allow punts to the head? Are we going to allow... Again, there's times when you have to cover up, and I get that. And I get the stand positions, and you're looking for any opening that you get. It is a fight. But how do we address the soccer kick? because personally, I cringe when I think about it every time when it comes to this sport. And the way that it's policed, it just seems like one of those, do we just take points away on a scorecard? What do we do in this point? Because I don't have an answer for you. My other answer is that as we look forward into the future, you've got a lot more people that are predicting Connor to pull out a victory over Cowboy Donald Cerrone. And it just comes down to, it depends on what we're going to see. When it comes to an MMA IQ, Connor does have a substantially higher one than most people do. This is a guy that's figured out something that nobody else can. Why? Because he's the one name that you can mention and that everybody knows what you're talking about. You now have a venue that's sold out in minutes. And this is not selling out because of Cowboy. Do we have people that are true fans of his, or do we have people who want to see him fall? Either way, Connor is the spectacle here. Now, don't make the common denominator as Cowboy Donald Cerrone. You want to talk about a hard night out for anybody. This fighter, this seasoned veteran, is coming licking his chops and is ready to go and ready to fight. And it's going to be what it's going to be. But once again, the story that comes in that changes everybody, that makes everybody go, yeah, you got a point on that one, is 170 pounds. We've got the point about, do we have cage rust from Connor, or do we have four fights that Cowboy Cerrone has been involved with, and is this going to be the one where he fought? It all depends. That left hand has been more effective for Connor at 155, but at 170, certainly didn't look like it fazed Nate Diaz in any way, shape, or form. The question is, with the weight class, what are we going to have with this spectacle? And yes, I do put this in the article of spectacle. Now, even though we are all facing one thing, I'm another fan that's looking at one more small component that not many are looking to. A year ago, nobody knew who Israel Adesanya was. Now he's the middleweight champion of the world. That's how quickly that this sport changes hands. A year ago, nobody knew much about Jorge Masvidal. Now you have the guy who has the fastest knockout in history and just won the BMF title at Madison Square Garden. You get where I'm going here. A year later, so many things change within a year of this sport. There is no off season at this point. It used to be year long and it was only about two fights a year or maybe down to four. Every month we are having so many fights, one after another. It's hard to keep up with all of these stories. But every year, somebody comes in that nobody was talking about a year before. And this is a sport where people have short-term memories. I'm telling you now, there is a fighter that you need to be paying attention to that may have a promising career, and her name is Macy Barber. Macy the Future Barber is somebody I want the Blockhead Nation to be watching for. Even though this is one who's going to open the show. Cowboy and Connor have very little to lose. You got a $5 million, a $2 million contract payout. Either way for this fight, who has the most to lose is somebody that is so promising to the MMA community right now, that is Macy Barber. Be watching for her. You heard it here on the Blockhead Hour. And for those of you that want to start getting your one pedal at a time, maybe you're thinking, hey, I might want to try MMA for myself. Check out my friends over at Century Martial Arts, the best MMA gear for your in-home training that you can find on the market today. 40 years in the making, Century Martial Arts has exactly what you need. Whether you're a black belt instructor or a fitness enthusiast or somebody who just wants to try MMA in your home for the first time, whenever you get your gear and when you get to check out, make sure you use the promo code SAVE10. That's SAVE10 to get 10% off of all your gear from Century Martial Arts. And with that, we will see you next time. This has been your favorite Blockhead. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel. One pedal at a time.